Today is March 22nd, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $27,224.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another day, another dollar. How about yourself?
About the same, and maybe lost some dollars, eh? The Fed's move today. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, with the Fed's move today, like, everything kind of cratered a little bit. I mean, I can't say cratered a little bit, but Bitcoin was down for the day. Let's see. What did we come out at? It was down. Well, it says only 0.29%, but I don't buy that. I think it was higher than that, but maybe I need to go to a five-day calendar and look at that. No, it's still only 0.29%. But we almost kissed $29,000 today. We got up to 29, it looks like 29, or 28,933 before it got kicked back down. And it seems like it was, I don't know if you'd been paying attention to the market at all this week while we were waiting for the announcement from the Fed, but it was just chopping, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty much range bound, basically between that 27,000 and, 28,500, which was that resistance point on that podcast you had me listen to. It was that resistance point that they were waiting to see what it was going to do against it. And honestly, I was kind of shocked with the way that the banking crisis had been kind of happening over the past, 2 weeks, basically. And the way that Bitcoin had reacted, I figured as soon as that there was a rate hike, because, I mean, you know, a rate hike is going to cause more instability within the banking system.
Yeah, it's going to make those bonds that they hold even more worthless, right?
Right. So I figured for sure that, you know, when they announced the increase, even though it was just 25 basis points, that we would see Bitcoin, like, just take off from there. However, the inverse happened. Well, and I can't say it's that bad yet. Like, I mean, it's only down, like I said, not even, it's like a quarter of a percent right now. But I figured for sure that was going to be some rocket boosters.
Right.
Some extra trajectory. Well,
yeah, I don't think it's going to get any rocket boosters just yet. I think it'll happen when, I mean, the Fed hasn't quite pivoted on inflation yet. I mean, they kind of are by injecting $2 trillion of liquidity, which is not a small thing, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's when they start cutting and they completely lose their hawkishness on trying to end inflation, that's basically they're going to turn on inflation like we've never seen before. And at that point, it will be off to the races.
Yeah.
And then the dollar will be down the drain. So,
coming off the heels of that too, Jerome Powell had stated basically that there's only going to be one more rate hike this year, which we'd only figured there was only going to be two this year anyways. That's going to make it three, because we did have one in February, I believe. And now we've got this one that just came through. And so it sounds like they're cooling their jets. That hawkish demeanor that you saw, I think we had talked about that on a couple episodes back, where, you know, he was basically saying, we're going to do what it takes, like how tough he was talking.
Yeah.
It seems like he's softening that stance quite a bit right now.
Well, could you imagine, I mean, with SB, Silicon Valley Bank, I get the acronym messed up, SVB, going down. I mean, and then he starts doing that to a whole bunch of other banks. I mean, he will be, I mean, things would not end well for Jerome Powell if people got a hold of him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, then you saw, I mean, we started to see ripple effects like in Europe, right, where Credit Suisse dropped. Basically, they got picked up by, I can't even remember who picked him up. I don't know if it was the HSBC, but they bought him at like a pittance of what they're actually worth. due to the issues that they were having. So that was kind of interesting to see as well. So, I mean, there's these moves that the Fed makes are not just felt locally. And then I think there was something that came out on Monday where they were going to open up the liquidity desk to Europe for the Fed, where they were basically going to be printing out more money, right, to go over to there to help their insolvency issues. Did you hear about that at all?
I haven't heard about that, no.
Now, it was a letter that was released on, it was coming out Sunday, it came out Sunday to go out on Monday morning's European news that they had going on. Basically just saying if they were opening up the liquidity desk or enhancing liquidity is what they called it.
It's a nice little euphemism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that sounds like money printing, but we shall see. Realistically, I don't know how many more cracks. I mean, because really, we've talked about this before. The Fed wants the United States economy to be broken. And I mean, they want the cracks. Like, they want to see stress fractures happen, right?
Right.
At what point are they going to stop? And then we talked about that last night too. Like, what had he cut interest rates, that would have caused a panic, right?
Oh, that would have been the sign that the Fed is totally pivoting to heck with they're not worried about inflation. They're just going to inflate away.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the point, I mean, originally it was looking like they were going to do a half a percentage point. Yeah, actually, that's what Al was talking about, I believe, a couple weeks ago before things started going south for banks. And so, like, the middle ground there is only a 0.25% rate hike. But if you would have done the full half a percent, that probably would have cratered, you know, the markets even worse. So,
yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think, and that was the big concern that had come out, because I think the first one that we got this year so far for 2023 was only 0.25%. And then he was talking on Capitol Hill, and that's where he was talking big, and he was like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna do a 0.5%. We're gonna fight this thing till inflation's back down to 2%, right?
Right.
And then, you know, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature and, you know, Silvergate, like all that stuff started happening. And then, you know, the European market started to feel it as well. So, you know, we did see him pivot. Well, I can't say pivot, but he was a little bit more dovish than overall hawkish.
Yeah, he's getting squishy. We'll say that.
Yeah, I think that's a good term. He's squishy. Squishy right now. So, really, I don't know what the future is going to hold with this. We'll have to kind of see how this plays out and see what, you know, the next thing we're going to have to wait and see is what CPI numbers look like for, you know, March when they come out in April. So, this is the last big Fed news we have for this month, although this month's basically done, so we'll have to wait and see from there. And then there was a lot of other, like, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, where it looks like we're seeing a lot of fighting right now from the federal government against Bitcoin currently, right?
Right.
And I don't even know necessarily, I mean, it seems like the main target is Bitcoin, maybe a little bit of Ethereum. But Bitcoin seems like to be the one that gets a lot of shade. And then you shared with us, do you want to talk a little bit about this? Was it Gnome? Is that what you called her name?
Kristi Gnome, the yeah. Governor of South Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess not this, I think it was maybe a week ago, I saw an interview with her. And she was talking about the fact that in the House and Senate in South Dakota passed a bill and sent it to her to sign, and it would have eliminated, you know, Bitcoin as a form of exchange within South Dakota, and she actually vetoed it on the spot.
No, that's awesome. I mean, you know, you hear a lot from politicians right now that politicians and, you know, people overall, they and even Jerome Powell said, you know, we don't want to stifle innovation, right? But it's these types of moves that they're starting to make with some of this legislation that stifles that innovation.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with Kristi Gnome is when she was giving the interview talking about it, she didn't even realize what was coming through until she looked at it and read it and went, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then killed it right there. So, it just kind of makes me wonder, if she didn't know that was coming through, how many other states are have this that have already gone through that we haven't even heard anything about yet?
Yeah, they weren't even looked at. They signed away, right?
Right.
And it was House Bill 193. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Kristi Noem is like one of the better governors. Like when it came to the lockdowns, she was the only governor in the United States that never locked down. Even DeSantis locked down for, I don't know, like a few weeks before he opened the state back up, but she never did. So, you know, and speaking of DeSantis in Florida, there's another story. I'll let you go ahead and take that one.
Yeah, so, and I didn't pull up the article itself, but DeSantis just passed legislation in Florida where he banned CBDCs, basically.
So, which is music to my ears.
Yeah, I want to see more states do something like that. Texas introduced some legislation, but I mean, it goes back to, we've talked about this before, anybody can introduce anything. Well, we got to see like signatures go on some stuff. So Texas introduced some legislation to make crypto mining and cryptocurrencies legal in Texas, and they want to see people actually using it. I think, you know, that would kind of follow suit between what we had seen come out of Arizona. But Arizona, again, that was just legislation that was introduced. We got to wait and see where that's actually going to go. And I'm already...
Oh, that's not going to go anywhere with Katie Hobbs as governor.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things... I know a lot of people on the Bitcoin front that are both Democrats and Republicans, right? It does unify in a lot of different ways, but it's more moderate Democrats rather than true left wing. So, and I mean,
well,
and then you got right wing that don't want to touch Bitcoin either. So,
yes, yeah, I think it's like the mark of the beast or something. But no, I think when I look at Katie Hobbs, it's like, are you an establishment? Or are you you know, not establishment? So, you know, I'd lump Katie Hobbs with the establishment, same with Mitch McConnell, you know, Chuck Schumer, you know, a lot of people from the Republicans and Democrats that are kind of center that are also, I would call them squishy when it comes to doing whatever the overlords ask.
Yeah. And speaking of CBDCs, U.S. Central Bank's FedNow payment service to launch in July. Economist calls timing suspicious. According to the U.S. Federal Reserve, the central bank's FedNow payment service will start operating in July, and participants will be certified in April to leverage the FedNow pilot program. Kent Montgomery, the FedNow program executive, is urging American financial institutions to make preparations to join the central bank's new payment service. Economist Richard Werner, however, believes the timing of the FedNow rollout is suspicious, and he suggests that maybe it's all about rolling out a central bank digital currency. So just so you know, the FedNow, like if you look at this, FedNow would kind of be the groundwork for, and I think we talked about it last time too, FedNow is the wholesale backbone. We talked about replacing SWIFT in the past, you know, with this FedNow program. And so this isn't necessarily meant for direct deposits to individuals. This is mainly for commercial, industrial type, well, I can't say industrial, but commercial applications, wholesale market makers on the back end. So if they're trying to roll that out that quickly, I mean, what's the difference between a market maker and an individual? I can't imagine there's much of a big one. So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. You know, and I'm not against replacing SWIFT, but I think there's other ways to do it as well. And I'm against the individual, you know, CBDC system for sure.
Yeah. I'm against something that makes the powerful corporations or government entities that much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We also had, and I mean, I'm not going to go too far into this because we've got one other thing that we really wanted to talk about on here too. So the president's economic report of the president for 2023 was released, and they are attacking Bitcoin like crazy. They're using a lot of the, I guess, some of the the fear, the FUD from Bitcoin mining and the cost of running Bitcoin. So part of this, like there's some highlights in here. Energy intensive consensus mechanisms such as proof of work use substantial amounts of power by encouraging machines in a network to race against each other to solve a mathematical puzzle. Bitcoin, which accounted for over a third of all crypto assets value as of December 2022, is the most notable crypto asset that is mined using proof of work. Ethereum commercially switched to in September 2022 from proof of work consensus mechanism to proof of stake consensus mechanism that selects specific miners to validate transactions at a given point in time, thereby reducing the electricity usage in exchange for reducing the security of the network and increasing the power of the individual actors vis-a-vis the network's intensity. And then there's a part of it that's cut off, but it's basically, they said that Bitcoin was unable to be reached for a comment if they were going to switch to proof of stake as opposed to proof of work.
Yeah, try and get comment from Bitcoin.
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, who wrote this that they're like, we tried to reach out to Bitcoin to see if they have anything to say about this. Like, there's nobody at Bitcoin that you can talk to about this. With that being said, some have estimated it would take as much as 114,000 Visa transactions to generate the same amount of e-waste as a single Bitcoin transaction. Alternatively, a single Bitcoin transaction may generate more e-waste than 2.7 iPhones.
Really? Yeah. I'm willing to live with that. You know, but that's the whole deal. They're just attacking it.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's the thing that about proof of stake instead of proof of work is they just even in there said that they made their system less secure by going to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, it's, you can get a hold of the miners. I mean, you know, it's distributive. You know, okay, Bitcoin too. Like, you don't even have to run a miner to run a node to be part of the verification process. You know, you can have a node at your house, and they don't cost that much. So I mean, you can secure the network without having to mine. You know, and they were taking their word from the DigiEconomist. I'm going to have to look at that website some more, figure out what they're all about. I wonder if they just hate Bitcoin, or if they're just like completely. I'll have to look into that and see. That's another episode, another time. But yeah, so there's a lot of attack stuff going on. Now, they finally sum up some of this saying, you know, a U.S. CBDC, a digital form of the U.S. dollar, would have the potential to offer significant benefits. It could enable a payment system that is more efficient, provide a foundation for further technological innovation, facilitate a faster cross-border transactions, and be environmentally sustainable. It could also promote financial inclusion and equity by enabling access for a broad range of consumers. Go ahead.
I'm getting closer to those terms. Equity.
Yeah.
I mean, nuts.
So a White House assessment of the potential U.S. CBDC system recently noted that while a U.S. CBDC system could in theory be mostly permissionless, from a governance standpoint, this design choice introduces a large number of technical complexities and practical limitations that strongly suggest a permissionless approach does not make sense for a system that has at least one trusted entity, such as the central bank or the White House. That right there is what sums it up.
Yep.
It's too complex. Yeah, it's so complex that everybody's running it now. It's called Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is pretty complex to a lot of people who were not in the know yet, so...
No, and that's true. I mean, it can be very overwhelming. There's a lot in there. And it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever, whatever that may or group of people may be or she may be, whatever the case is, thought of a lot of different things in that protocol. I do.
No, it was a stroke of genius.
Yeah, it really was. So now on to our last news, and I figured we'd kind of end with this, is the news coming out of President Xi's visit to Russia. You hear about this?
Oh, yeah. He was in Moscow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a whole lot of KFC ordered and delivered to him, even though KFC is not supposed to be in Russia anymore.
It's RFC, Russian fried chicken.
Russian fried chicken. It ain't Kentucky. Man, can you imagine that? I would be so angry if I went to a state dinner. They're like, we got you some KFC, dog. Be like, really?
Really?
That's the best you can do? I guess it is Russia.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, Trump would probably take you to McDonald's.
He did do that, didn't he?
He did that for Ohio residents and the firefighters and stuff. He went to, yeah.
Well, I thought he did it for a basketball team or whatever that won and got to go to the White House.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did that too. No, he loves McDonald's, like legit.
Oh, man. Basically, I mean, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I think this is kind of interesting. I mean, one of the headlines that he was saying is that she said that was interesting was he was trying to encourage Ukraine and Russia to sit at the table and come up, work on some peace talks. Of course, the West and the U.S. and the puppets in Ukraine were like, no, we can't do that yet. Yeah. So that was somewhat fascinating to see, but I knew what our take was going to be on that.
Yeah, okay.
And then the other thing was they started working on their payment system where China is going to try and buy, oil and gas from Russia and pay them in yuan. And then from there, Russia could go to wherever they want and purchase their goods in the Chinese currency, because most people aren't really trading rubles right now. So, I mean, it'll be kind of an interesting, that's going to strengthen the yuan. And then looking at what's happening with inflation, with the American dollar, and especially the fact that the Fed hasn't quite pivoted yet, but it looks like they're right on this cusp of pivoting. That can change, one second the world is using the dollar, the next second they could be using the yuan to buy oil and other, commodities. So it's just something to pay attention to.
Yeah, and I the only thing that scares me about that is that that's definitely like the drum beats for war whenever that happens, when you mess with the American dollar like that on our side. Not saying that that's right or wrong, right? Like, I mean, but that's America will do that.
Well, if you look at most of the countries that we've invaded in the past 20 years, most of them are countries that are not on, or that have tried to get away from the American petrodollar and onto something else. And by that, I mean, you look at Iraq.
Yeah, I was going to say Saddam Hussein was a big one.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein was a big one. Who else? Gaddafi in Libya. Yeah, there's a third one that's escaping me right now, but we have a track record. If you start saying we're going to get off of the American, dollar for oil, you tend to find a coup in your backyard for whatever reason. I don't know how it works, but,
Yeah. And, I don't know. China, everything that I hear, and I mean, maybe we're just hearing propaganda too, but it sounds like that's an awful surveillance state to live under. So whether we end up becoming all Chinese or not, I'm not down for that either. So I don't know where to go. So basically, as part of the talks that Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi are currently conducting in Russia, Russia is about to move to use the Chinese yuan as a settlement currency with the countries in Asia, Africa, and
Latin America is what it meant.
Latin America. Yeah, I bet you that's it. Putin expressed that using national currencies for international trading should be encouraged further.
Well, that's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting to see where that plays out. For sure. But, you know, now we're kind of in a waiting game again to see how all this is going to play out and where it's going to go.
Yep. And we're going to see, you know, what kind of aftershocks there are in the banking system going forward. What's the straw that breaks a camel's back? Because, you know, I've been calling for a recession for the longest time, but it really looks like we're right at the doorstep of it now. I don't know how long the Fed and the, you know, the governments and the powers that be can keep everything held together, but it feels like there's a leak in the dam and it's about ready to burst.
Well, but I mean, I guess at the same time, and that's Jerome Powell wants that recession, right?
Well, they were aiming for their soft landing. There's going to be a crash landing no matter which direction we go.
A few months back, they gave up on the soft landing. I mean, they publicly said that, like, the soft landing is no longer in the cards.
Yes. But at the same time, that means just a crash. The crash in the stock market, the, you know, the death of the dollar. None of those look good. At least if you live here. Well, honestly, that's not going to be good for the rest of the world. Well, outside of a few countries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't even imagine China would end up doing all that great without it. I mean, because they still rely pretty heavily on the dollar right now.
Well, they rely heavily on us being the consumers of their crap. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. But we will have to see where it plays. So, real quick on the markets. Gold is up 0.11%. Oil's up 0.29%. Silver's down 0.52%. Let's see what the... NASDAQ is down 1%. Dow Jones is down 1%. The dollar's down 0.29%. Everything's pretty much down. Except for the Russian ruble. Oh, that's fitting.
It's fine.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
I think that's enough for now, but I think we should be paying attention and maybe do another emergency podcast if the need arises for that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sounds good. Cool. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And we will be back talking to y'all soon.
Bye.